Al Maghrib Institute presents an Ilm Fest lecture entitled My Creator, My Sustainer by Sheikh Naved Aziz.
So I'm on the plane yesterday and I'm actually quite tired. And you know, I was ready to knock out on the plane, and right after we take off, I start hearing some crying around me. And it's not the crying of the baby that goes wah, 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 wah. It was an adult crying. So I kept looking around, who is this person crying, moaning, and sobbing, you know, for like a long time? So eventually I get up to walk around, I'm like, I need to see if this person's okay. So I walk about three rows back, and I see a grown man, you know, maybe well into his 30s, well into his 40s, he is crying. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, you know, maybe someone died, you know, maybe he got divorced, maybe something happened. So I let it be, and I went back to my seat. I was like, inshallah khair. I'm like, you know, may Allah rectify his affairs, whatever it is. Sometime later on, I see this guy get up, and he goes towards the back. And I thought, you know what, let me start up a conversation with him. Because you'll notice that when people are in their darkest moments, that's like the best time to give them da'wah. So I went to the back, and he's asking for a glass of water or something to drink. And I too asked for something to drink. So I asked him, you know, I hope you don't mind, but I saw you crying. Is everything okay with you? And again, I'm expecting, you know, I got robbed, someone died, something happened. He goes to me, I was watching a movie, and I just couldn't stop crying. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You know, I've heard about women and, you know, our sisters crying while watching movies, but a grown man, you know, this has to be intense. So I asked him what he was watching. He tells me I was watching The Vow. Do the sisters know what The Vow is? It's like a, you know, the number one like chick flick of our times right now. So I'm like, okay, what about the movie made you cry? And he goes, you know, this guy was so in love with his wife that, you know, he was in love with her. They got into an accident. She lost her memory and she could not remember him. And he tried so many different things to win her love back, but she just couldn't remember him. And it got even worse. Not only did she not remember him, but she remembered her previous memories before him. So her old boyfriends and, you know, her old life before him, that's the only part she remembered. So now that she's come out of this, you know, amnesia, she's only remembering a life without him. And he's finding it very difficult to adjust and to accustom to. But he keeps trying his best. He takes her back to the same restaurants. He takes her back to the same places. Takes her back to the, you know, the same vacations. And he just can't win her love. But he doesn't give up. And then towards the ending, she, you know, she doesn't get her memory back, but she starts to love him again. And I thought to myself, the only thing that made this man be truthful and, you know, sincere to his wife was the vow that he made when they got married. And at that time, I'm like, really, that's all it took to make you cry? But I was like, inshallah khair, you know, I'm like, I'm glad everything's okay. And I really didn't know where to take the conversation after that. I'm like, how do you give a person da'wah after that? It's like, you know, we're all created by Allah, but, you know, that's like a fictitious story. I didn't know what to do. So I was like, khalas, inshallah, next time. But I did have a moment of reflection at that time. You know, the main concept of this movie was this vow that he made and how he lived up to it. My dear brothers and sisters, we have all made vows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 172, and remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted from the children of Adam their loins from their backs and made them testify, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? And they said, قَالُوا بَلَا شَهِدْنَا, indeed we have testified, so that on the day of judgment, we will not be able to say that we were heedless of this affair, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and sustainer. And that was one of the first things that came to my mind, the vow, the covenant that we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, greater than any vow that a husband makes to a wife, or a wife to a husband, or a mother to a child, or any other relationship. Yet you see, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan has won this battle in distancing us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to dedicate this talk to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. I want to dedicate this talk to getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, in hopes that we can fulfill our vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how bad that amnesia gets, no matter how bad the accident, we will always know who Allah is and why we love Him. Let's start off by how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us of this in the Quran. The famous verse that all of us know here, we've heard it many, many times, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the mankind and jinn except for my worship. The greatest mufassir of the Quran, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said about this verse that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that the greatest form of worship that we can do is to get to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because once you truly know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you cannot help but to worship Allah and to love Allah and to venerate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hashr, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and do not become of those people who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves. Indeed, these people are the transgressors. Now, there's two points in this verse over here. The first point is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be of those people who forgot Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just doesn't give you a problem, He gives you a solution as well. So the solution to having forgotten Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell you who He is two verses later. When He goes on to tell us in these three beautiful verses who Allah is. Which starts off with, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المحيمن العزيز الجبار العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. In these three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of who He is. So the people who forget Allah get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again through His names and attributes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a second lesson. And this is the logical proof in terms of why we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're constantly told that this journey of life is about self-discovery, discovering who we are, discovering ourselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse that in order to truly discover who you are, in order to truly discover your potential, you need to discover who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first. Because you will become a manifestation of the things that you ask Allah for, a manifestation of the things that you obey Allah with, a manifestation of those things that you plea Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So in order to truly discover who you are, you need to discover who your Creator is. Because if your Creator is filled with generosity, He will create generosity in you. If your Creator is loving, He will create love in you. If your Creator is pardoning, then He will instill pardoning inside of you as well. So to discover who you are and who you should be, you need to realize and learn who your Creator is. So this, in summary, is why we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, the commandment of Allah. Secondly, it's about discovering who we are. It's about discovering where we stand in the world. It's about discovering, are we really the moral and ethical people that we claim to be? Because all good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So now let us take a look at who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is. The most glorious name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. And this is the primary name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name Allah comes from Al-Ilah, the worshipped, Al-Ma'bud. So Allah is a signification of our worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this beautiful name to constantly be used in the Quran, to constantly be used to call upon Him, is to remind us of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remind us of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of worship, one of servitude. We were created to remember Allah, to venerate Allah, to love Allah, to make sajda to Allah, to make ruku' to Allah. This is our relationship with Him. And this is why throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term Allah to remind you that the one that created you, the one that sustains you, the one that you call upon is the only one that is worthy of your worship. Now one of the unique things about the name of Allah, Jalla fi'ula, that a lot of us do not know about, is that the name Allah
is one of the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name that if he was to be called by it, he responds. If he's to be asked by it, he gives. And over the 40 opinions that exist, two of them are the strongest. They are Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum being the first opinion, and Allah being the second opinion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it seems that Allah is the stronger opinion. Because if you look at the du'as that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that mentioned the greatest names of Allah, all three of them mention Allah, but not all three of them mention Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. So when you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call Him by this name, and you'll see the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performs. This Lord that we talk about, Allah, He is Allah because He possesses every beautiful name and every beautiful attribute. And He is worthy of our worship because He possesses these names. So you see that it becomes circular in nature, that we can only worship He who possesses all the beautiful names and attributes. And since we worship Him, then by necessity, every beautiful name and attribute must belong to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wudud, the loving and the beloved. Bringing it back to the movie, when I asked the man, you know, why was he crying, one of the things he mentioned was that I wish I had a love like this in my life. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, at that time, that no matter how much love you have in this life, from your friends, from your spouses, from your parents, from everyone else in this world, you will always have a void in your heart that can only be fulfilled by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he goes on to mention, that indeed in the heart is a void that can only be fulfilled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a lot of us don't realize this. A lot of mankind does not realize it. So that void that they find in their heart, they try to fulfill it with the desires of this world. Whether it be through wealth, whether it be through, you know, women, whether it be through everything else. They try to fulfill it through desires. But they notice that they become more empty and more empty as these desires are fulfilled. They'll see that they'll try to fulfill it maybe with alcohol, with drugs. But where does that lead them? It leads them along the same path. They'll try to fulfill it with each and every single thing, but it won't be fulfilled. Because that portion of your heart was created to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he gives a beautiful example. He says the love of Allah in the heart of the believer is like a tree. The love of the believer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a tree. Its roots are the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its trunk is humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its leaves is modesty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fruit that it bears is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll see that our whole relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it revolves around love. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he gives his other famous example and parable, that our journey of worship towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that of a bird whose head is love and its two wings are fear and hope. Now what is a bird without a head? It is not going to survive. It's not going to be able to fly. Similarly, our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it does not begin with love, then our journey will not progress. And that is why I began with Al-Wudud, to remind us of this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and He wants us to love Him as well. And this is one of the unique names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the subject, but He is the object as well. So when we talk about Ar-Rahman, He is the one who shows mercy. He's not the one who has mercy shown to Him. When we talk about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghaffar and Al-Ghafur, He is the forgiver, but He is not the one who is forgiven. But when it comes to Al-Wudud, not only subhanahu wa ta'ala is He the loving, but He is the beloved as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that there's not a tree except that it glorifies Allah, not a bird except that it glorifies Allah, not any one of Allah's creations except that it is glorifying the Him, except that we do not understand their glorification. Listen to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, the skies shake and creak, and they have the right to shake and creak, because there's not a distance of four fingers except that an angel is making ruku', an angel is making a sajda, an angel is making qiyam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will continue till the day of judgment. This is the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for him. Now our question arises, where is our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bidnillahi ta'ala, we'll learn that by the end of the discussion. We move on to as-sittir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who covers up. And this is a beautiful example for all of us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with our deficiencies, created us with our mistakes. But with these deficiencies, with these mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers us up just like we use clothes to cover up our bodies. During the time of Musa alayhi salam, rain stopped to come down. It ceased to descend and a drought came about. So people came to Musa and they said, "Ya Musa, you speak directly to your Lord. Will you not go to him and speak to him and ask him for rain to come down?" So Musa, he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he asks him, "Oh Allah, time has gone by and rain has not come down. What is the reasoning behind this?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that there is an individual in the community who has not sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 years. And up and until this person leaves, rain will not come down. So tell this person to leave and then rain will come down. So Musa alayhi salam goes back to his people and he tells his people, "Oh people, there is an individual from amongst all of you that has been committing sins for the last 40 years and not once has he repented. Whoever he is, let him leave our community so that the rain can come down, so that we can be nourished once again." And then you can imagine in a gathering like this, no one moves, no one gets up. But then miraculously, the rain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to descend. And people start to wonder, what happened? Musa just said that until someone leaves, the rain's not going to come down. But no one came down. But no one left. So Musa alayhi salam, he goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asks him, "Oh Allah, you said that the rain will not come down up and until someone leaves. But no one left and the rain started to come down." At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him something so profound. He said, "My slave made such a sincere repentance, I couldn't help but forgive him. I couldn't help but forgive him." So Musa alayhi salam, being the slave of Allah, he's curious. Who is the slave of Allah that got forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Perhaps I can benefit from him as well. So he asks him, "Oh Allah, who is this individual that you have just forgiven and pardoned?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell him, "Oh Musa, I concealed his sin while he was a sinner and did not expose him. Do you think that I shall expose him now that he has repented?" Allahu Akbar. Allah is a sitir, the one that covers up. My dear brothers and sisters, no matter what sin that you may have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers that sin. It is between you and Allah. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that all of his ummah will be forgiven, except for those who expose their own sins. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while knowing that sin that you committed, he covered it up for you. So who are you to go and expose that sin? So take advantage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a sittir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not expose you, and turn back to Allah and repent to him. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the great imams of the Salaf, he said, "Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create an odor for our sins. For if indeed there was an odor for our sins, none of us would be able to sit next to another." And it's the type of odor that you can't like mask with deodorant or like Axe or anything else. You know, that's a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us talk about Al-Mujib, the one who answers all supplications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ الدَّعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. That if my slave asks about me, tell them that I am near. I answer the supplication of every supplicator. Let me share the story of a sister with you. She says, it was the first day of Ramadan and my father had a heart attack while he was in the masjid. So they take him to the hospital. I hurry to the hospital and I'm looking at my father. And I see this beautiful old man The man that took care of me when I was young, the man that changed my diapers, the man that took me to school, the man that tried his best to grant me every single thing that I desire. And I realized what a terrible daughter I was to him at that day. So I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said, oh Allah, please grant him life so that I can show him the same righteousness that he showed me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him out of the heart attack and gave him life for four more months. In these 4 months, she did everything she possibly could, from cooking for him, cleaning for him, driving him to his appointments, any wish or desire that he had, she would be the one fulfilling it. But at the end of the 4 months, she starts to realize that, subhanAllah, life is really getting difficult for my father. He can't go to the bathroom on his own. He can't breathe on his own. And while it's great to have him around the house, it's unjust of me to want him to keep being alive but be suffering at the same time. So she makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, please do not let him leave this world except in a state of obedience to you. So the day of Jummah comes. 4 months later, he goes out for Salatul Jummah. He comes home with his friends and his family, and it's as if he's perfectly fine, perfectly healthy. Nothing is wrong at all. He spends the whole day together with his family and friends. They pray Salatul Isha, and the father excuses himself. He says, I'm feeling tired. So the youngest daughter, she takes him upstairs. And not even 5 minutes go by, but she starts shouting, everyone come upstairs, everyone come upstairs. So everyone goes upstairs. And you can imagine this, if you're walking into that room, and it is your own father, that his spirit is leaving his body. His eyes are gazing up towards the skies, and his spirit is leaving. And as that is happening, he's saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And those are the words that he dies with. Now you think to yourself, subhanAllah, who could have planned such a death? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when that daughter made dua for her father. Think about our Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. When he's stuck in the belly of a whale, he's been swallowed whole without being chewed. He's stuck inside. What recourse could he possibly have to get out of this predicament, to get out of this situation? Is he going to fight his way out? Is he going to bite his way out? What is he going to do? In your darkest moments, you have no recourse except to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Yunus alayhi salam. When Yunus alayhi salam called out, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That he called out in the depths of the darkness, oh Allah, there's no one worthy of worship except for you. I have been of those who oppress themselves. He called out to Allah. And then the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he always responds with that which is equivalent or that which is better. So now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to Yunus, he is obviously going to save Yunus alayhi salam. He's from his slaves, from his prophets. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. And thus we saved him from that which was causing him sadness and sorrow. But that is the equivalent response of the call of Yunus. There has to be something greater. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to tell us, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yunus alayhi salam in his moments of darkness, he will save all of us. We just need to have the same recourse. Call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you who al-mujib is, the one who responds to supplications. Let us talk about ar-razaq. We have a predicament in our communities that people are not getting married. So you have, 1,000 sisters and you have 300 brothers. There's a shortage of brothers and people aren't getting married. One of the worries that the brothers have is that perhaps I'm not financially stable. And one of the concerns that sisters raise with the brothers is that you're not earning enough money for me. So it becomes circular in nature. But let me share something with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise in the Quran where he tells us, فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. Now when does he say this? He says this when the people of Medina, they stopped wanting to marry the orphan girls. They wanted to marry the women of noble lineage, the women who had wealth. And they left away the orphan girls because they were poor. And the Sahaba themselves, some of them were not rich. So they're trying to get rich through marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that put some faith in Allah. Go ahead and marry the orphan girl. فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you sufficiency and He shall make you rich. This is ar-razaq. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that if the children of Adam were to put their trust in Allah just like the bird, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would provide for them just like He provides for the bird that leaves its house early in the morning looking for food and then comes back home fulfilled, not looking for anything else, being sufficed. My dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about ar-razaq, He is the one that provides for us all. I want you to think about, how did you get to the state that you are in right now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with parents that provided for you. But how about the rest of the world? They didn't have the same luxury. You got to your state right now because ar-razaq provided for you. And you will go even further when ar-razaq continues to provide for you. So put your trust in ar-razaq when you seek your sustenance. Do not ever think that by cheating or by partaking in the riba, your wealth will increase. But know, my dear brothers and sisters, that wealth will only increase when ar-razaq says it should increase. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will cause it to increase. My dear brothers and sisters, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many. But I want to go back and conclude with one simple point. Knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term Allah throughout the Quran and uses His names and attributes throughout the Quran, it is a reminder for us that let us reflect on those names and attributes to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when our iman goes down, one of the best ways to increase it is by turning back to the Quran and looking at those names and attributes and looking how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses those names and attributes. And that is how you will get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to long for Him. Allah created you to desire Him. Allah created you for one moment and one moment only. And that moment is the day where you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout this day, you're going to hear a lot of information. And I say information because it doesn't turn into knowledge up and until you act upon it. And this is just a reminder for myself and everyone else over here. We do not come to these conferences for the sake of mere entertainment and for the sake of passing the day. But come to these conferences for the sake of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll conclude with one last story that perhaps it may enlighten you and enlighten myself. I was in this beautiful city of Medina, and I was sitting with one of my teachers. I was reading a text to him. And the habit of Saudi Arabia in general, not just Medina, is that wherever you're going, even if it's a short distance, you're going to be zooming down. Like it's a 30-kilometer zone, you're driving like 130. So we're going like 130 kilometers an hour. No one's wearing their seatbelts. Very unsafe, very dangerous. And as we're driving away from the university, the teacher halts his car and goes to a sudden brake, and I go jerking forward. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened? You know, no one crossed by. No one, you know, there's no reason to stop. Why did he stop? And the sheikh, he stops the car. He gets out of the car. He walks and he does something, and then he comes back into the car. So I couldn't, you know, resist it. I had to ask him, sheikh, what was that all about? What did you just do? And he says, you know, Naveed, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells us that the lowest form of iman is to remove something harmful from the pathway. And I saw a glass bottle and I thought to myself, subhanAllah, what if someone gets injured while stepping on it? Or what if due to the heat of the sun, it explodes and like pops a tire or something of that nature? Now that in and of itself, it blew my mind. But what came next, subhanAllah, I could not understand how such people still lived in this world, subhanAllah. He says, you know, Naveed, the greatest moment in our lives, what we hope for, is that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you never know what that deed is that will allow you one extra second, one extra minute, one extra hour to look at the beautiful face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for you to express yourself at that time that, oh Allah, I struggled in this world for your sake. Oh Allah, I held on to this deen well like hot coals for your sake.
Oh Allah, I sacrificed, I lived, and I died for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a shukur, the one who appreciates, he will say, oh my slave, for you is this paradise and everything else that your heart covets and desires. My dear brothers and sisters, that is Allah. Long to meet him, and he will long to meet you. May Allah make the most beloved and best of our days the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more videos, audio, and exclusive content, please check out www.sharethekhair.org. Jazakallah khair for listening. Please feel free to share this audio recording with friends and family.